Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. And we're also brought to you by the SGPN Bowl Challenge. $250 cash and a $250 gift card is up for grabs exclusively on the SGPN app.
Howdy, y'all, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 259. Who should I give it? Oh, there's actually a new person in our sportsgamblingpodcast.com slash Discord recently. Famine or Fam1NE. So I'll send it out to them since they're like a new face that showed up and has been talking to us. So there you go. And to everyone else, get in the Discord if you're not already in there. It's lots of fun. I'm in there. My name's Jeff Chalks Fox. I'm one of the hosts of this here podcast as well. My name is Green in the Discord, meaning I have God powers in there, so you have to behave yourself. Another man who has God powers is my co-host, who I will introduce in a moment, because we have a UFC to break down. This is going to be a rare event that's happening right now. We're actually going to break down our only UFC probably for, a month? It's at least a month that they're off. A little off-season, if you will, is happening after this Saturday, so better make this episode, which will be the prelims for this Saturday's event, and next episode, which will be the main card breakdown, we better make it count. Better make some winning picks. This is kind of a tough one to handicap. My co-host agreed with me when I mentioned it to him in what amounts to a pre-production meeting, just saying, wow, this is hard to handicap. But yeah, a lot of difficult lines, which probably means there's opportunity for us to make some money because there's a lot of close lines and maybe some underdogs we're interested in. Who knows? This is turning into a too long of an intro. So let's just bring in the star of the show, the reason that everyone is listening. The one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Well, so first of all, I'm not going to debate yet that, yeah, no, I am the reason people listen. But also, I will say, yeah, Famine, is he the one who throws, he or she, I have no idea, the one that throws, like, bomb parlays in there that are, like, 17 plays?
I think so, yeah.
I like that. You should stay around, Famine, if you're listening to this.
Usually we don't like people that spam discords with parlays, but if you win on a parlay, then by all means, send it in here. But people, like, in other channels like to just throw. What do you think of this parlay? And it's like 12 teams and they're betting $1 to win like 25 million. And like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah. But anyhow, yes. If you win, by all means, let us know.
Let us know when you win the Hungry Man Jong parlay, as so many of you did.
Did Jong even win that?
I hope so. I actually thought about that last night before, when I was thinking about what I was going to do today for picks. I was thinking, I was like, I know so many people who did, but I don't know if Jong ever said he did.
I don't think he did. And he was very territorial about it too. Like, hey, no, you can't even after someone else. You can't make up new parlays. This is mine. Interesting. All right. We're going to have to get into that in the old Discord. We got our last fight night of the year, last event of the year, UFC wise. And it is, we got 9 fights to break down. So we, all this chit chat, we probably should, 8. 8 fights? Did we lose one? No, it's my math. Let's count together, everyone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, that's right. 8 on the prelims, 6 on the main card. That's what threw me off. The main card is 6 and not 5. So, and you had to agree with me. It's a tough card to make picks on, right?
I think so. Yeah. It
took more work, not, at least for me.
Yeah. And some of it for me wasn't even like saying like, oh, you know, I don't know who to pick there. But it was me being like, I do know who I want to pick and I hate the line.
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know, was I missing something on this line? Should I have known this other thing? And like, then like doing more research behind it, being like, I thought that was way easier than it was. And now it's kind of tricky. So, yeah, like for me, it wasn't necessarily that it was like a hard one in terms of picks, but it's sometimes like a hard one in terms of being confident with your picks.
So you're telling everyone to do the research then, right?
Always do the research.
Yes. Always do the research. It's true. Maybe this is because James Krause isn't messing with the lines anymore. Maybe this is what the lines were supposed to look like all along.
Yeah. Maybe they were always hard until he got his hands on them.
Exactly. That could be the case. All right. We don't really have time to talk about that guy. Maybe we'll talk about him in upcoming episodes when we're strapped for stuff to talk about. All right. This week, as I said, UFC Fight Night, Cannoneer versus Strickland, aka UFC Vegas 66, goes down Saturday. UFC Apex. It's an earlier evening one for us on the East Coast. Prelims are on ESPN Plus at 5 p.m. Eastern. Main card, which we'll break down in tomorrow's episode, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus. Let's start things off with bantamweight fight. Sergey Morozov versus Journey Newson. We will tell you about Journey Newson first. 10-3 with one no contest, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. He's 1-2 with one no contest in the UFC. The no contest was actually originally a TKO win for him, and then he got suspended for marijuana use, which was still illegal back then. So really, he should have another win and another TKO on his record. But nonetheless, he did win his last fight. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Yes. 0-1 as a pro boxer. Striking stats in his favor. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.64 strikes per minute. That's a strike, gives him a strike differential of plus 0.64. Plus 238. The gambling people, bookmakers, are not impressed by
gambling,
that resume, apparently.
You're called bookmakers, yeah. Gambling people.
I think someone's getting in trouble at my house, and I'm getting distracted here. I think there's a dinosaur attack like at your house. So those people that make lines. What are those people called again?
Bookmakers. You're right the second time. Yeah.
I assume if the house is on fire or if the dinosaur is coming in here, I'll be alerted. So I'll soldier on. Sergey Morozov, 18-5, 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted 3 times, 2-2 in the UFC. Loss, win is the pattern. He did win his last fight. He was the M1 champ before this. Used to fight at featherweight. 2008, pro MMA debut. Inch taller than Newson. He's been outstruck barely. Minus 0.02 strike differential in the UFC. So barely. Basically, it's a push. Minus 295. Did you have trouble picking this one?
I had a little bit of trouble based on
me
the
too.
Line. So,
yes.
But just,
the line, I'm like,
again,
well,
just
okay, based... explain to me why Morozov is minus 295. That's what I can't get my head around.
Yeah, well, and so I think what it actually boils down to is I do think Morozov is a better fighter and he's a more well-rounded fighter. Like if you
right,
look
he's
at,
more well-rounded for sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like we have, you know, Journey Newson who, you know, has a lot of boxing skills that we've seen, although he's mixed in a takedown here or there too, but like mostly boxing skills, has been knocked out by Randy Costa, which is certainly not a good look. Whereas Morozov, like, is a pretty darn good wrestler, but we've also seen him like struggle in certain instances, like against Umar Nurmagomedov. And ultimately, I think that's probably why bookmakers have so much confidence in him. His level of competition is super high. He fought, you know, Umar Nurmagomedov, you know, Douglas Silva de Andrade, Raleon Paiva. Even if you want to go before he was in the UFC, he fought Josh Rittenhouse, who's really good. He fought Movsar Evloev, who's really good. Like, you know, like he's just got a much better strength of schedule. And I'm not like a big strength of schedule guy as being the only reason why I take somebody. It's a pretty big reason here, though. And then when you mix in the fact that like he's a good striker who like uses his wrestling when he needs to, I think that that's just like a bad recipe for Newson. So I do like Morozov here. I don't love, like you said, I don't love the line. I'm kind of shocked that he's a damn near 3-1 favorite because, you know, he kind of feels like a, you know, if this guy was betting off at -165 or something like that, I'd be all in on him. I'd be pretty excited about him. But like the extra, you know, 100 plus here on him worries me a little bit. I don't love that.
I'm getting crazy, Dan. I'm taking Newsom. Can you believe that?
Get out of town.
Yeah. I had a lot of trouble with this one. I had to like, because I'm trying to understand why the line is what it is, but it sounds like you don't really know.
Wait,
are
either. You taking? Hang on a second. I gotta just make sure I got my head around this. Are you taking a fighter because you prefer the line?
Yes, that's totally not me. I know.
I just don't know that I'm ready for this.
Maybe I should wait till the new year. Maybe this. This started early. I think he's a better striker too. At least the stats show that he's a better striker with more power, at least in the UFC than Morozov. I know their opponents. They fought obviously different levels of competition and whatnot, but I still think the line. The line is properly set. So I'm going for the CLV. Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah,
my God. CLV. What has happened?
Although he might not have CLV at the end of this.
No, he has to win for that, right?
Although I don't think the bet will. I also just don't think the money will come in on him. The money will come in on Morozov here. Like, so if you do want to bet Newsom, you might want to just wait on that because I think the line will go up. Here's the thing I will say. I think I might agree with you on the fact that he might be the more powerful boxer. I also just don't think that defensively his chin is better than Morozov's. Like, I think if they did get into a throw, knock him down, throw fists for nonstop 15 minutes kind of fight, I don't know that he's got the power to knock him out. And, you know, we've seen him knocked out recently. Yep. So, like, you know, even though Morozov is not a guy who we think of as knocking people out, like, I think Newsom is more likely to be knocked out than Morozov still.
We shall see. He's got a higher knockout. He's got a higher knockdown ratio, knockdown rate. I mean, he's, you know. Anyhow, I think it's worth a roll of dice because this one's closer than we think it is. So, well, actually, I guess we both agree it's a close one. I'm going for value for some reason, so. I don't know. I'm confused too, Dan, but what the heck? Maybe I want to do all I can to try to break even and I'm down what $300 or something on the year. So this could be it. And I will be making these plays over at WinBet, of course, because I am ready to win money. Hopefully you are ready to win money and boost your odds as well. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. There's so many out of take a pause. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WinBet. Looking to get involved in the same game parlay? WinBet is your home with their WinBet. Build your own bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts happening right now at WinBet. WinBet has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And we're back with Underdog Fantasy. Hooray. And if you haven't signed up already, you can still get a 100% deposit match up to $100 when you use the promo code SGPN. Just go to underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN for 100% deposit match. Underdog is great for their weekly battle royale format, as well as getting an early start with their playoff best ball. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Let's see if things continue to be crazy, Dan. I have a feeling they will be. I think I got some more crazy picks coming up. Flyweights are next. You don't think I pick is super crazy though, right?
I mean, I don't think it's super crazy. And like, it's the type of pick I make from time to time where I'm exactly. Like, Do I think, you know, like 51 times out of 100, Newsom's going to win? No. You know, Morozov is going to win the majority of the time. But it's so close that I prefer the fat line there. And you went for it. In this case, I just hated it enough to go with Morozov.
All right. Let's move on to flyweights. We're going to go down to talk about Manel Cape and David Dvorak. David Dvorak is the Undertaker. He must have a side job. Everyone has a side job in the UFC, right? So he's the Undertaker. Rest in peace. 20-4, 8 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 3-1 in the UFC. He did lose his last fight. He was a regional champion. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.87 strikes per minute. He's at plus 195. Starboy, Manel Cape, 17-6, 11 knockouts, 5 submissions. Been submitted twice. 2-2 in the UFC. However, he's won 2 straight fights, both via knockout / TKO. He's fight at bantamweight, was the Ryzen champion, 2012 pro MMA debut, a year younger than Dvorak. More active landing strikes. He outstruck his UFC opponents by one strike per minute. So almost plus, almost even, Steven, for him. Minus 245. I know Jong was saying there's value on Dvorak, but I can't make another value pick based on a line. I got to pick who I think is going to win. I think Manel Cape's going to win based on what we've seen of him as of late. He's starting to look like the fighter that he was before he entered the UFC and the fighter we were hoping to see. So give me Manel Cape.
Yeah, you're 100% right. This is the guy who went out and beat, you know, Uncle Creepy. This is the guy who went out there and was putting it on people in Ryzen. This is the guy who we were super excited came to the UFC, and he's done it the last two times. And I'll also say this, like, I know after his first two fights, we were down on Manel, but like at the end of the day, he was fighting Alexandre Pantoja and Matthews Nicolau, who, you know, yeah, those losses have aged so well. And the fact of the matter is I don't even know that he lost to those two guys.
He doesn't think he did.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think he did lose to them. But if I finish that sentence, it was, I don't think he lost to those guys because he was worse than them. I think he lost to those guys because of the way that he fought them and his complacency. And now that he doesn't have complacency, he's knocking people out in the first round. And I think if he just turned the volume up a little bit on Nicolau, I think we would have seen a different result. I think we would have seen Cape win that fight. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think he's way better than Dvorak. Dvorak's a guy who like kind of needs to push you up against the cage and work his striking and or grappling from there. And Cape's just so, he's so powerful. He's so explosive. He gets out of those positions so well. I just don't see Dvorak having any kind of sustained success there. So yeah, give me Manel Cape too. I'm going to go chalky for my first two at least here.
All right. Cape is the pick. Oh, perhaps he was alluding to the next fight. We shall see. Alluding, not alluding. Welterweights. Is it Renat? Is it a hard T or not?
I think it's Renat.
Renat, yeah. He's only fought once. So last, his middle name's Mother, right? And the last name is Fok Redinov. Is that right?
I see what you did there.
Is it right? I think that's his nickname.
It's,
he's fighting
Fok Redinov.
Fok Redinov. He's fighting Brian in battle. At welterweight battle, Brian the Butcher battle. Did you know that was his nickname?
I unfortunately talked to him this week about it. If you haven't gotten the latest episode of the top, if you haven't gotten the latest episode of the Top Turtle MMA podcast, he talks about why Pooh Bear had to go, and now he's the Butcher.
Oh yes, right, he's Pooh Bear.
He was Pooh Bear. He's the Butcher now. That. Yeah, and he shares how it happened and why it happened and the fact that his mom's pretty bummed about it. So,
so he's got another job too. So we have an Undertaker, we have a Butcher so far. Okay. He's fighting a Gladiator. That should be an interesting battle. I said battle too. I'm just full of jokes. He's 8-1, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions, TB in battle. He's been submitted one time. It's the one you lost. He's taking this fight on short notice. 3 straight wins in the UFC, all 3 fights that he's fought in the UFC, he has won. So he's 3-0 in the UFC, 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and the champion there. That was at middleweight where he used to fight at. He's won, not including the Ultimate Fighter, he's won 7 straight fights. He's not lost a official MMA fight since September 2019. Like I said, he used to fight at middleweight. Last fight, he went down to welterweight. Was he a welterweight earlier in his career or not?
He was not. He was a light heavyweight and possibly a heavyweight earlier in his career.
He's shrinking.
If you go back to his that's where Pooh Bear came from. He was like a big dummy dude. Yeah,
roly poly, eating lots of honey. All right, he's 1 inch taller than the Gladiator, 3 inches of reach, 3 years younger. He's almost 2.5 times more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.65 strikes per minute. So that's a very, very healthy number there. Plus 125. Fok Redinov, Gladiator, 20-2. 11 knockouts, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. He's won 1-0 in the UFC. He's won 15 straight fights. He's not lost since June of 2014. He used to fight at middleweight as well. Striking stats are better than battles. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.8 strikes per minute. Grappling stats are as well better than battle, minus 135. Over to you.
So first of all, I did put the intern on it. He fought his first amateur fight for LFA, which, by the way, really impressive to have your first amateur fight for LFA. And that was at heavyweight. He weighed in at 241 for that fight. So he's now down to 170. So that's 71 pounds lighter than he started his career, which is just, it's just crazy. So I'm going to go dog here. I like Brian Battle quite a bit in this fight, mostly First of all, because he's got really good jiu-jitsu and really good grappling. So if Fagradinov wants to go to that realm, which there's like kind of like an outside chance that Fagradinov does want to try to wrestle him up here. Like, I think he handles himself well enough with chokes and counters and stuff like that. And I also just like wasn't very impressed with Fagradinov in his takedown abilities of Andreas Mikulaitis. Like, he spent most of that fight controlling Mikulaitis, but like not landing very much. And he like whiffed on half of his takedown attempts. He like got stuffed a lot. So I just like don't trust his wrestling enough. And Battle obviously showed us in that last fight against Takashi Sato that like he now also has the hands and legs to go along with the grappling part of it. I think he looks more powerful at 70. I think he looks stronger, faster, all that kind of stuff. So like I am, you know, I think the sky's the limit on Brian Battle right now. So I'll take him, especially getting plus money here.
I am taking it as well. Yes, I'm a new man, apparently, Dan. Obviously, the short notice is an issue. Like it's bit us before, just bit us last week. It's bit us in the past, especially considering he used to weigh 240 pounds and he's got less time to actually cut to 170. Taking that out of the equation, obviously he's going to be my pick. He's just looked outstanding. And he's going to be a better striker for sure. And like you said, he's also a solid grappler. He's bigger, he's younger. Give me the plus money. So another plus one for me. Crazy, right?
It's crazy that we've gotten two already, but it's more crazy how we've gotten the two too.
Yep.
You pick a guy on short notice and one that you just like the value on. I'm just I don't even know what to do.
We move on to the next fight is what we do. Lightweights, Rafa Garcia versus Mahashat. Is it Shade? I think it's Shade, isn't it? Or is Mahashate?
I can't remember. I think I say it one way and it was wrong. So
okay, good.
We're just going to let it go.
We'll just let it be wrong. But we won't say his first name because he doesn't go by it now. Or maybe Mahashate is his first name. It's difficult.
No, it's Hayir.
Is that his first name?
Yeah, Hayashare.
That's not his last name. It's difficult fighters from Asia because sometimes it's flipped and sometimes it's not. Anyhow.
Chinese is one of the ones that is flipped sometimes, right? Because we mess up Weili Zhang or Zhang Weili all the time.
We'll call him Mahashate. He's 9-1, 4 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's won 7 straight fights. He's not lost since August 2019. He won his last fight via knockout. He's 5 inches taller than Garcia, only 1 inch reach advantage on him, though. He's also 5 years younger. Striking stats are in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 0.06 strikes per minute, so barely. Plus 110. Garcia, gifted. Hafa Garcia, 13-3, 1 knockout, 8 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 2-3 in the UFC. However, he's won 2 of his last 3. However, again, he lost his last fight. He was the Combate champion before this. He used to fight at featherweight. He's been outstruck over his 5 UFC fights by 1.46 strikes per minute, so not very good there. Grappling stats are better than Mahashate, minus 130. Guess he's going dog again. This guy is going dog again.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of striker grappler matchups. This is another one of those striker grapplers versus grappler, matchups. I'll take the striker, Mahashate. Yeah, he opened some eyes. Huge underdog in Contender Series came through. A little less of an underdog in his UFC debut came through there as well. Garcia, not very good striker at distance. And he's never beat a fighter in the UFC who has actually won a fight in the UFC. Both of his wins have come against a fighter who had 0 wins in the UFC. So give me the younger, better striker, Mahashate.
So first of all, I'm just going to quickly correct you on the correct pronunciation of Rafa Garcia.
Rafa?
He's Mexican, not Brazilian.
Oh, right.
We're gonna be Rafa Garcia instead of Rafa Garcia.
Like a Hafa Natal player guy.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Hafa Natal. But it's and then I'm gonna differ with you on this one. I'm gonna take the favorite again here. Okay. I too see a lot of potential in Mache. I think what you said about his striking is certainly true. He surprised us on Contender Series by winning that fight. He then in his debut looked far better than we were ready for him to against Steve Garcia. But Steve Garcia is also a guy who like goes in and like welcomes being blasted in the head with right hands.
And that happened.
And that's what happened, right? Because like And I like Steve Garcia. Steve Garcia is a fun guy to watch, but it's mostly like that's why he's a fun guy to watch.
Yeah.
Because he did that against, I mean, like he did that against Luis Pena too, Violent Bob Ross, and like lost the fight with Violent Bob Ross. So it's not a surprise that Mahashe beat him in that one. And the thing that I think maybe we're sleeping on here is just how good of a grappler Rafa Garcia is. Because like, even though he's like not out here winning with his grappling all the time, like he did take down Dracar Close 3 times, and Dracar Close is not a dude who is particularly easy to take down. Like Dracar Close is a guy who wins often with his takedowns. I mean, like he stuffed more than half of the takedowns against Benil Dariush, and he stopped a, you know, 2/3 against Rafa Garcia, putting him in pretty much the same percentage almost. So like, yeah, like I like Rafa Garcia's chances to take this to the ground. You know, we saw Rafa Garcia do the same thing to Grootsmacher. He took down Natan Levy 7 times. Like, I just think he's a wrestler, and I think we're going to see Mahashe learn a thing or two about like having a well-rounded game, despite the fact we haven't really had to see him grapple. I do know he struggled in M1 when he was faced with some Russian dudes. So yeah, I'm going to take Rafa Garcia here.
Yep. Not a bad pick at all. Next, the Battle of the Sades at bantamweight. Said Nurmagomedov versus Said Yokub Kakhramonov. Who am I going to tell you about? Kakhramonov first. He is 10-2, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He's won 2 straight in the UFC. He's 2-0. Overall in the UFC, 4 straight fights he's won in total. He's not lost since February of 2019. 0-1 the PFL. Used to fight at featherweight. 3 years younger than Nurmagomedov. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.38 strikes per minute. A good number for him there. His grappling stats are better than Nurmagomedov. Minus 110 for him. This is a pick'em fight. Nurmagomedov 16-2, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 5-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights. Used to fight at flyweight and up at featherweight. Was a regional champ. 2009 pro MMA debut, inch of reach on Kakhramonov. He's almost 2 times more active landing strikes than Kakhramonov is. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost 2 strikes a minute, 1.95 strikes is the strike differential. Minus 110 for him as well. Go right ahead.
Is it my turn?
I think so.
All right, so before we get into this fight, I have to say this fight, first of all, is rebooked. This fight was originally booked, I want to say 6 months ago. It got canceled and rebooked for this weekend. And when it was originally booked, I put a joke on my other podcast Twitter account. This is the old he said fight.
Oh, you're so funny.
And I thought I got like 4 likes and it really bummed me out because I thought that was pretty funny.
That's
so
with smart, that being said, man. It's too smart for people. That's all.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to take Kakhramonov here. Here's why. I think what he did to Ronnie Lawrence was really telling. And we've seen Nurmagomedov like face a step up in competition and kind of struggle, right? Like when he fought Rayony Barcelos, like he didn't look great in that fight. He got stuffed on all of his takedown attempts. He himself got taken down a few times. Like even if you want to go back to the Justin Scoggins fight, which Justin Scoggins not even in the UFC anymore, he went 1 of 11 in trying to take Scoggins down. I'm not sure he's a better striker than Kakhramonov. I think the numbers bear out that way because Kakhramonov spent most of his last fight entirely on the mat, and you know the slugfest with Trevin Giles or Trevin Jones rather, not Trevin Giles, Trevin Jones probably didn't help his numbers, but I think Kakhramonov like maybe even has a grappling advantage here, surprisingly. And I think even if he doesn't, I think the stalling out on the feet here is going to fade his way too.
I'm going to Nurmagomedov. We're on a different side again. Striker versus grappler. Nurmagomedov is the striker. Give me the striker. I think he's a decent enough grappler. Hopefully, defensively, he's a decent enough grappler to keep it on the feet. So I think
he shoots a lot of takedowns for a guy we're going to classify as a striker. <True.
laughs> maybe I'm stretching the definition of striker a little bit there. So we are disagreeing once again.
It's a lot of disagreement today.
Yep. It there is. Maybe I'll use your he said joke for the alt title. Will that make you feel better?
He said.
Yeah. Maybe that if that'll make you feel better, sure. Middleweights, Julian Marquez versus Darren Wynn. Wynn 7-3 with four knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 2-3 in the UFC. He lost via TKO his last fight. He has failed drug tests since making in the UFC. 1-0 in Bellator. Was a wrestling champion in a past life. More active landing strikes than Marquez. However, he's been outstruck by his UFC opponents by 1.66 strikes per minute. Not good. Plus 140, the number on him. The Cuban missile crisis, Marquez, 9-3. Six knockouts, three submissions. So he's finished all of his opponents, all of his wins at least. He's been knocked out once. 3-2 in the UFC. He's gone 2-1 over his last three fights. However, he did lose his last fight via knockout. He's missed weight before. He's 1-0, was 1-0 in the Contender Series. Used to fight at light heavyweight, 8 inches taller than Wynn. But however, only 2 inches of reach advantage on him. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.34 strikes per minute, minus 165. Give me the Cuban Missile Crisis striker grappler. This one we can safely say striker versus grappler. I will take the striker who's going to be way bigger than the grappler and hits super hard to get the job done for me.
Yeah, these are two guys I kind of had circled to fade both of them forever.
No, they're fighting each other. You can't.
You know, like, the Marquez fight against Maki Pitolo just was, like, so disappointing to me. Like, he won that fight, but, like, man, did it look like he didn't want to. It also obviously worries me that, like, Darren Stewart took him down as many times as he did. Because, like, if Darren Stewart can take down Julian Marquez that many times, Darren Wynn probably can too. But the problem with Darren Wynn is he just has not been able to find as much, like, successful offensive time in his fights. Like, he seems to, like, find moments where he looks like the, you know, promising wrestler we were all promised he was. And at the end of the day, like, he just can only do that for, like, a little bit before he's being, like, lit up on the feet or, you know, sticking his head in somewhere it doesn't belong and then, like, paying for it dearly. So, yeah, I agree with you on this one. I don't love picking Julian Marquez because he's kind of looked pretty shady in some of his fights, but I do think he's got just enough here to blast Darren Wynn on the feet and make sure that Wynn doesn't get anything going.
Darren Wynn spends 68% of his time striking from distance. That makes a lot of sense for an undersized wrestler, does it not?
It's just that he can't get inside. Sort of, you know, everybody's talked about, like, is it a problem that he's at middleweight? And for the most part, it wouldn't be if he had more tools to get himself to people's legs, but he doesn't. He, like, you know, he throws the same three overhands and hopes that he's close. And as long as you dodge the last one and circle away correctly, like, you're nowhere near him. So, yeah, it just hasn't been working for him.
Yep. Let's keep the party going at welterweight now. Jake Matthews versus Matthew Semelsberger. Semelsberger, semi the Jedi. So we had a... what do we have last week? Obi-Wan,
Shinobi,
the pillow. And now we have Semi the Jedi. 10-4, Mr. Semelsberger is. Six knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 4-2 in the UFC. He's gone 2-2 over his last four, including losing his last fight. Used to fight at middleweight. 2 inches taller, 2 inches of reach over Matthews. He's about 1.5 times more active landing strikes. 1.6 to be exact. He's been outstruck by his opponents by 0.18 strikes per minute in the UFC, plus 215. The Celtic kid, or is it Celtic? It's Celtic, isn't it? The Celtic kid.
Celtic, yeah.
Yes, he's not a Boston Celtic fan. Jake Matthews, 18-5, five knockouts, seven submissions, been knocked out once, submitted three times, 11-5 in the UFC. He's gone 4-1 over his last five fights, including a KO win in his last fight. Used to fight at lightweight, 0-1 on the Ultimate Fighter, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Yes, 2012 pro MMA debut. 2 years younger than Semelsberger. Striking stats are better than his as well. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost a strike a minute, 0.99 to be exact. Grappling stats are also better than Semelsberger, minus 270. I think it's you, right?
It is me. I'm going to take Jake Matthews here.
Correct. I
feel pretty good about it too. Because, like, I like Semelsberger. I've been saying for a while it would be much better if he tried to offensively wrestle more. We saw him shoot a takedown on Alex Morano, and it worked, and he only shot one during that time. But the problem here is that, like, he's not going to do that enough, and his defensive wrestling isn't always great. You know, we saw AJ Fletcher damn near win that fight against him, and I'm not huge on AJ Fletcher, but we saw AJ Fletcher nearly win that fight against him by being the aggressor in the wrestling. And here he is up against Jake Matthews, a guy who is exceptional on the ground, has really only been matched by Sean Brady as of late on the ground. And, you know, has recently shown off he's got some hands too. So yeah, I don't like Semmelsberger's chances to fight that kind of fight with Jake Matthews, and I think that's the fight he's going to try to fight. So yeah, give me Jake Matthews on the money line here.
Yeah, I think Matthews is pretty much better everywhere, younger, more high level experience. He checks all the boxes. So give me Matthews.
It's crazy that he's younger too, right? Because he's been in the UFC for like 100 years.
He sure has. All right. Is this the last fight? Yes, it is the last fight on the prelims. The prelim main event, women's strawweight, Cheyenne Vlismas versus Corey McKenna. So we're going to tell you about Poppins McKenna first. 7-2, two knockouts, two submissions, never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC. She's gone 3-1 over her last four. She won her last fight via submission. She won on the Contender Series. She's 1-0 there. She's 4 years younger than Vlismas. It's pretty much even in terms of strike differential for her. It's minus 0.06 is what she's been outstruck per minute in her UFC and Contender Series fight. Grappling stats are in her favor over Vlismas, plus 165. The Warrior Princess, Vlismas, 7-2, two knockouts, never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC. She's won two straight fights. However, she's been out of action since last December, so it's a year. 1-0 in the Contender Series, 0-1 in Invicta. 5 inches of reach on McKenna. Striking stats in her favor, and she's 1.7 times more active landing strikes than McKenna is. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by almost 3 strikes a minute. That's a crazy high number, 2.9 to be exact. Minus 200. Give me Vlismas. This is another striker versus grappler. Like I'm saying, we're getting a lot of those dished up to us here. I'm going to take the better striker who has 5 inches of reach to utilize it. So give me Vlismas here.
I'm going to go with McKenna.
I had a feeling.
I think McKenna's a great dog spot here. And I think I think the problem in why she's even being listed as a dog here is that loss she has on her record. She looked really bad in that loss because she just like didn't decide to wrestle until it was too late. Right. And the thing about Corey McKenna that's so good is her grappling. And we saw it then. She followed up with that fight against Miranda Granger where she went right to the wrestling immediately and won. And so far, any fight where she has decided to go right to the grappling, she won. That includes grappling with Vanessa Demopoulos, who we know now is an exceptional grappler. And if you want to go back, Vlismas has had trouble with grapplers before. She was the loser on one of my greatest picks of all time, which was the money line on Montserrat Canejo, who yep. just had an arm takedown, took her down like 3 or 4 times in that fight. I also think people are giving maybe Vlismas a little bit too much credit for stuffing the takedowns of Mallory Martin in the last fight. Because first of all, Corey McKenna is an 80 times better wrestler than Mallory Martin is. And yep. B, in addition to that, Mallory Martin didn't shoot a takedown until late in the second round where she was already had been absolutely beaten down, absolutely exhausted, and had nothing left. So, you know, I think McKenna is going to take her down regularly here, and I think she's going to pick up the win that way.
Hopefully not, but it could definitely happen. All right, so I will recap before we're out of here and back in your ears again tomorrow. I got Vlismas. He has McKenna, he being Gumby. We both have Matthews. We both have Marquez. I have Nurmagomedov. He has Kakhramonov. What do we do there when they both end in ovs? What's Munaf going to do there? Bet on both?
I don't know. We should get the machine involved.
We're going to have to get him. We're going to have to find out what he's going to do there. Gumby has Garcia. I have Mahashate. We both have Battle. We both have... Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, we both have Cape. I didn't have your name listed there. You definitely have Cape. Or Cap, excuse me. Is it Cap?
We talk about this every time he fights.
It's Cap. You have Morozov. That's how his name's said. I know that for sure. And I have Newson. So lots of different opinions here. So you're getting both sides of the coin. So that is the packed prelims. We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, to get in your ears again with the main card, which is pretty packed too with 6 fights. Told you about the Discord. Get in there and chat with us. It's lots of fun. Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He is at Gumby Vreeland. Read all our lovely writing at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We cover lots of sports, not just us personally, but our slew of writers that we have there. And subscribe to my Substack and enter my free pick'em contest to win some stuff. It's moneymma.substack.com. And Gumby actually told us that Top Turtle is his other podcast. I haven't seen it in my feed yet. Maybe I'll check now. Maybe it's in my feed now, Gumby. You dropped it earlier today, you said?
Yeah, I think around 11 a.m. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I've been a busy boy today. Julian Arosa, Brian Battle, and UFC Vegas 66 is what Gumby is going to break down. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And you can find out why Pooh Bear is no more. So make sure you get that in your ears as well. That'll hold you over till tomorrow. We'll be back in your ears in probably just a few hours from when you're listening to this with the breakdown of of Saturday's main card. All right. Until then, I will remain Starboy Jeff Fox. We will remain the Butcher Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.